Music fans of a certain age would certainly know Bobby and Steve, twin brothers and two of the most respected DJs in dance music for over 35 years. Sadly, Steve has been left disabled as a result of complications due to coronavirus, which I'm told both brothers contracted back in March of last year. Thank goodness for small mercies, they've both survived. Bobby has made some recovery, so I'm pleased that he's able to join me on the line now to help us look back 1 year on and shed some light on what we can all do to protect ourselves. Bobby, thank you very much indeed for taking time to be with us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show, Mike.
Both unvaccinated, yourself and twin Steve, caught COVID. Tell us what happened, please.
March the 7th, 2020, we DJ, as you said in the intro. We had a gig in Madrid. We flew over there on Saturday, came back on the Sunday. This is before lockdown, remember? Okay, lockdown in Madrid. There was no lockdown in Madrid or in the UK. We came back on the Sunday. On the Monday, we had a business meeting on the telephone. He was at his house, I was at mine, and we had speaking on the phone, and we started losing our breath, like, really badly, just for, like, 10, 15 seconds. I'd done my first, and 10 minutes later, Steve was losing his breath. That went on in the course of an hour's phone conversation for four or five times each. Fast forward to the next weekend, we had a gig in Manchester. I was getting a slight temperature, and again, there was no lockdown or nothing, right? My temperature went up to 0.5 or whatever, what was supposed to be 38 went up to, but we went and done the gig, came back on the Sunday. I was just really, really bad, really, 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 really bad. I was in my bed from that Sunday to the 20th of March, Thursday night, Friday morning. I sent a text to my wife because she was sleeping upstairs because my temperature was like 39, 40 degrees now. I sent the message saying I need to go to the hospital because the government was saying don't come to the hospital, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I remember walking into my local hospital, Rich Cross, because I live in East London, Rich Cross Hospital, and I remember walking in and that's it. And apparently it was 5 hours later, I remember I was on the bed and then the doctor was saying to me, right, we have to sedate you. And I just said, just do what you've got to do. We're 58 years old now, and I think I've lived a life to know about getting ill a few times. I've had bad flu, I've had this. This was symptoms like nothing, like it was just awful. I woke up 7 days later. I was in my local hospital, East London, when I started. I ended up in Barts Hospital, St. Paul's. I woke up there. They transferred me because they said they wanted more room at my local hospital. I woke up there after being in a coma for 7 days. I was out of ICU 2 days after that. So I was in hospital on the 12th day. I was put into a ward, and then I was allowed my phone. My wife gave me my phone. She brought my phone up, and she called me, because no visiting is allowed there, right? Called me and said, Steve's been brought into a hospital, because whilst I was in my coma, so Steve was fluctuating with his symptoms. But 2 days before my discharge, Steve got admitted. Steve wasn't even as bad as me. He walked into the hospital, and Steve was sitting in Amy with his wife. His wife went to the hospital, having a conversation. So he was a lot better than I was. Anyway, about the same kind of time, I think 3, 4, 5 hours, Steve has gone into a ventilator and went into an induced coma. So again, I'm just thinking, well, it's fine. The only reference I had was myself, right? Because I went in on the 20th and lockdown happened on the 21st. So I'm just thinking, well, it's okay. It's for me to reference against myself what's going to happen with Steve. He'll be out in 2 weeks' time, blah, blah, blah. 2 weeks later, Steve's still in the induced coma. They tried to take him out of the induced coma, and they call it being distressed, where he was biting the tube. So for safety, they had to put him back into the coma. 3.5 weeks later, they took all the sedation. They, you know, stopped sedating him, and then they let him wore off. They was doing the test like they did to me, squeeze my finger, open your eyes, follow my finger. It's called tracking. They done that with Steve. He wasn't squeezing the finger. He opened his eyes, he's blinking, and he wasn't following the finger. There was no response, which led them to do a CT scan and an MRI scan, and that showed that the virus had gone into Steve's nervous system and up to his brain and inflamed and damaged all the cells that we need to respond and communicate. Steve's been diagnosed with acute hemorrhagic leukoencephalitis, which is one of the worst brain injuries you could ever get. It's very, very rare as well. We've been doing loads of research and talking to people around the world, but they don't know how many people got this, what Steve's got.
Yes. This was before vaccines, is that correct?
That is correct. This was March 2020.
We're 1 year on now. with the vaccine rollout, and it's made a huge difference. There have been significant reduction in hospitalization since the start of the program. Are you vaccinated now? Is Steve vaccinated?
I'm vaccinated and Steve is vaccinated.
Why did you decide to have the vaccine?
I decided to have the vaccine because what I went through, I don't want to go through that again. And if I do catch COVID again, I don't want to have it to the severity that I did have it. Steve's been left in a prolonged disorder of consciousness, which means he cannot talk. He cannot move his body. His eyes are open and he blinks and he has a wake up and sleep pattern. And he's at an amazing neurological hospital in Hazelmere, Guildford. He has to be hoisted out of the bed and put into the chair. And he's in the chair for 6 hours, a wheelchair, every day. Visually, Steve looks good. It's like you're trapped in your own body syndrome. We believe and know that Steve can hear us. He just can't respond. And his body, he can't move his body. And he's being fed with a peg, which is a tube in his stomach. And all of this is from COVID. Remember, he walked into the hospital. I don't want to go through what I went through. I don't want to see anyone go through what Steve's went through. So for me, any protection, no matter what people's views are on this, if it's 5% in there, from what I went through, I'd rather have a 5% defense than nothing to get to the level that I got to, and worse ways to get to the level that my brother Steve's in at the moment. There's no medicine to repair Steve, my brother. It's just seeing what happens in the future. A lot of people don't come back from this, 10% they say, and whatever. So people have to make their minds up. If there's something out there that can give you whatever percentage, 100% will be great. But anything to defend yourself, protect yourself on that level, 100%, you know, it's a no-brainer, really.
There's been a lot of misinformation and false narratives spread over the last year regarding vaccines. What's your opinion on this?
If I never had COVID and have to be in a coma, on a ventilator, and this happened to my brother as well, and I would be doing research. I'd be doing that for me. I'm not doing that research because I just know what I need for myself. I would say, just for everyone who's doubtful about the vaccine, go and do some research, man, because, you know, knowledge is king, right? Even if you feel like you're not getting the right knowledge, I'm sure if you keep digging enough, you will find something. But for me, again, 5%, 10%, 15%, 20%, 30%, anything is better than nothing to protect yourself from what I've gone through and what my brother is still going through.
Finally, Bobby, we know that you started a fundraising drive for Steve. How can people support that, please?
Steve is allowed one home visit, and I need to just tell this quick story to see why we started doing this. Steve is allowed, home visits every 2 months, like he comes home for 3 hours. And the first visit, when Steve was home, it was amazing. There was a family members there, and we could see a difference in Steve. Remember, Steve's not responding, okay? He's not communicating. So we saw a glow in Steve, in his aura. And my mum was there. My mum was praying with Steve. She was side on to Steve. And Steve moved his head and faced my mum. He doesn't do that. For us, Steve needs to be home, surrounded with love by his family, because that is the medicine we're concentrating on now, love. So Steve's family home needs to be adapted so Steve can be at home slowly, like every week, once a day, and then fortnightly, weekends and fortnightly, etc., till he can come home full time. So the house needs to be adapted to have a wet room downstairs, and, you know, things need to be changed. So we started, on the back of that, we just said we started a GoFundMe page, and you can donate to GoFundMe. If you'd like to donate and help the cause, then go to Steve's COVID-19 brain injury story on GoFundMe.com.
Well, Bobby, can I thank you very much indeed for taking time to be with us. We will keep Steve in our prayers. You can find out which vaccine you need to get and book today at nhs.uk/winter vaccinations. Get vaccinated, get boosted, get protected. Bobby, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Mike. Cheers.